trust, we kind of see those things separately. I think we need to see them as kind of a continuous movement of our salvation, kind of like, I hope it doesn't happen tonight, but if a thunderstorm's coming our way, in a distance you would first see the flash of lightning and the slower speed of sound, then you would hear the rumble of thunder. And then you might expect before too long, all that would have the event of bringing rain and wind. Think Pentecost here. Another way to take a look at the promise, Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away, speaking of his ascension, for then I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and you won't be orphaned. And he said to his immediate followers, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. You wonder how they remembered to record things in the gospel. Bring to your remembrance all that I have spoken to you. And we know as good Lutherans, and I could probably point to any one of you to recite the third article of the Creed in Luther's explanation, right? Right? Should I try it? We'll see how I do. I believe the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in true faith. The Holy Spirit makes it possible to have faith and to live for Christ. One final thing by way of greeting. Some people have called, and I like this. This is the birthday of the church. And so I've got red on, and we've got a little different color with the pyramids. We're celebrating on the eve of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, a Jewish festival. And finally, the disciples were told to wait for comes in a most dramatic fashion. I took a little more time in the introduction because I'm preaching on Pentecost, but I'm going to the Genesis lesson tonight, and I wanted to get some of that in at some point. I saw the exciting pictures of the building being enclosed at the shelter. I finally been out and to seen the site. What a beautiful piece of land, and what a way to look at the future as I think growth is happening here as it is in our area going north. So very excited for this congregation. And I'd be remiss if I didn't complain a little bit. Leslie knows all about this. I love this congregation, your dear friends, and greetings from our congregation. I would never let you get away with the way you're scattered over this whole broad space. I think I would get here personally and do the work and get all these, this whole section just piled up on and that, even if I had to stay later and put it all, and take all those back pews, sorry, you back people, and have you all sit right in here. So, yeah, all right. Anybody else? And I've heard, I'm going to be very dangerous, I heard this is kind of a right-leaning congregation. It seems a little, you know, but you lefties are loved by God too. Right, Rich? Right? All right. Enough of the nonsense. There are announcements, important announcements.
Boy, do I have an opportunity for you. As you know, I'm seeking out devotions in Ephesians, and to have you know the latest checkpoint, I have 5, but I wanted to get at least 10, but we're going to still plug away on that, and as you can see, we need to double this opportunity, and we could triple it if we wanted to too, but right now we have an opportunity for you. In the meantime, I got a sheet here that's got some directions on it if you wonder about it. So please see me with that. And don't feel any pressure about it. Do it because you're called to do it or want to do it or desire to do it and God wants you to do it. And we'll step you through it if you need some help with that. And then, Larry, thank you for, and everybody else that's on that implementation committee. Building's not up there right now, but that looks awesome. There, you see it? I mean, there was a lot of work done out there, obviously, today, and I wasn't there because of other things, but a lot of work has gone into that, and Larry, we thank you greatly, and the people on the implementation, are you here? Raise your hand if you're on that same committee. Judy and Larry over there, and there's Don over there. Thank you so much, you guys. Appreciate it.
Anything else at all? We begin our worship with a brief order for confession. I would ask the congregation to please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If you and I say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please take a moment for silence and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Kyrie eleison.
Lord have mercy.
Christe eleison. Kyrie eleison. With you
and also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us by that same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
The first lesson is from Genesis chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 143, and we will read it responsively. Lord, hear my prayer, and in your faithfulness heed my supplications.
Answer me in your righteousness.
Enter not into judgment with your servant.
For in your sight shall no one living be justified.
For my enemy has sought my life. He has crushed me to the ground.
He has made me live in dark places like those who are long dead.
My spirit faints within me.
My heart within me is desolate.
I remember the time past. I muse upon all your deeds.
I consider the works of your hands.
I spread out my hands to you.
My soul gasps to you like a thirsty land.
O Lord, make haste to answer me. My spirit fails me.
Do not hide your face from me, or I shall be like those who go down to the pit.
Let me hear of your loving kindness in the morning, for I put my trust in you.
Show me the road that I must walk, for I lift up my soul to you.
Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord.
For I flee to you for refuge.
Teach me to do what pleases you, for you are my God.
Let your good spirit lead me on level ground.
Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake.
For your righteousness' sake, bring me out of the trouble.
Of your goodness, destroy my enemies and bring all my foes to naught.
For truly, I am your servant.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I appreciate those lights. With my eyesight, I'm finding more light helps. We heard these words from the first lesson. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing they propose to do will now be impossible for them." Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And everyone said,
Amen.
Unity is a good thing, right? I think I would agree. After all, Jesus said, "And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand." I think that's a general truth too. Unity is a virtue or a good, but is it the highest good? Is all unity something to be celebrated? We're more effective when we are unified in purpose and work in harmony, right? Boy, I like this congregation. Even though you're all too far spread out, you're still in the game right now. But if you fall asleep, I gotta keep looking back and forth and make sure everybody's in. More effective. So if 12 people conspire and lay out a plan and decide they're going to rob one of the biggest banks in Rochester, and I don't live here, so I don't know what that is, and they keep to the plan and they work with a unified purpose and in complete harmony, And only because of that, and each person did their part, and they were unified all the way through, and they got away with it and took all the funds, we would celebrate that unity, wouldn't we? No. But unity's a good thing, right? Now we're a little more qualified with it, right? It is an effective thing, isn't it? Our country isn't very unified now. Not been the first time. No truth to the matter that I was alive and can remember from personal memory the Civil War, but that was a pretty disunified time. But I am old enough to remember a lot of the division that happened on college campuses and in congregations during the Vietnam era. A lot of us can reflect on that. There have been a lot of periods. We're becoming more polarized on a lot of areas, and I'm as interested in unity and harmony, I hope, as anybody, or at least I am also. But I wonder at what cost? I mean, should some of us on one side of the polarized issue just say, hey, unity's more important, the heck with the truth? I don't know the way through it, but I do know where there isn't unity, there's divisiveness, and there's a lot of discord. I remember Jesus saying something like, did you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but a fire. I don't know entirely what he meant by that. And he also talked about, I don't know if it's his purpose, but do you think that I came to bring unity on the earth? And then he goes on to talk about all the divisions that would happen as the one who is the truth would have followers of the truth. I hope you're with me a little bit in my introduction, because I think we're going to see some of what I'm talking about played out in our first lesson from Genesis. And I hope that I have a chance to say, why is he preaching on this? And what does this have to do with Pentecost? And I hope you end up saying, plenty, and maybe it'll give some insight on what actually happens on that day of Pentecost. I mean, Pentecost happened every year, but we look at the Pentecost now as what happened on that particular Pentecost that has repercussions for every one of us that's baptized in this room. So I want to revisit the lesson. By the way, Julie, excellent job in the reading of the second lesson. People that volunteer for readers in our congregation, I do try to warn them that one of the most challenging readings of the whole year is going to be that second lesson with all those different places, and you did a wonderful job with it. I always tell them, put your head down, pronounce it, just whatever comes out, sound confident. Everybody goes, that's how you pronounce that, right? But just don't stutter and take five or six shots at it. That'll be a dead giveaway, that, you know. And I don't know the right pronunciation. I just know the one that I use. I want to read a little bit of this back to you in Genesis 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And the people migrated from the east. They found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. Let me just say, we're talking about the descendants of Noah. We've already wiped out all the population with the flood, right? So the earth is to be repopulated, and they migrated from the east. I don't know where, but wherever it was, it must have had rocks to build with, and they're in the plain. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. So they got clay. I slipped down a long slope last week. I didn't go a long ways. I just slipped on a long slope that was very steep, coming up from the Superior hiking trail overlooking Grand Marie. It was very embarrassing. It was clay and it was wet, and my foot just went right out, and I went down in the backpack, and it was muddy clay. And when I stood up, my son said, it looks like you had an accident there. And we were looking forward to getting into Grand Marais ahead of the shuttle service to take us back to Lutzen, if you know, the North Shore. And it would have been a pity to go 35 miles on a trail and not enjoy Grand Marais and the Angry Trout Restaurant. I highly recommend it up there. It was so cool being up there. The clay dried out enough that it brushed off, but we must have been a sight coming out of a few days. So clay can be burnt and make bricks. And a unified effort, when people are united, it's amazing what they can come up building-wise. And that's not a bad thing. When people are unified, more gets accomplished. I guess the question is, what's being accomplished, right? But more does get accomplished when we're unified in the effort. Keep the unity in this congregation. Work hard and maintain it. It's impossible without forgiveness. It's impossible without recognizing what it is that unites us. And people say, well, it's Christ that unites us. Absolutely true. But don't fall for the Mickey Mouse that people say, well, we're united in Christ, but we're ignoring what he says and we don't pay any attention. There's no unity in Christ without being unified in his word. How many know that the chief work of the devil isn't jumping out from a bush and trying to scare the bejeebers out of you? That the chief work of the devil, you can see in the parable of the sower, goes after our trust in God. And he does that by going after our trust in his word. Right? You were participatory to begin with, right?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to fool you here. It's dangerous when you do that. Did God really say, the serpent said to Eve? I'm thinking by the context, Adam's standing right there and can't find his words at all, and not, in my estimation, being a very good protective head of the marriage. But did God really say, sowing doubt in God's word? Careful what the unity is all about. They're making bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Does anybody, I didn't look, know what bitumen is? I'm picturing tar. I don't know if that's right. I got good authority back there, tar. The mortar between the hard bricks that can be made. Then they said, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. I'm guessing it's the greatest thing that had ever been built, and we'd have been impressed. And I think the towers were called ziggurats, and I think there's remains in the Middle East to this day, and soldiers that have been to Iraq, for instance, may have been to one of the spots where some of these ancient ziggurats were, and may have been the very area that this kind of thing took place. Impressive, right? I did a little research, and boy, am I behind from my schooling days on tall buildings that are great monuments today. I would have thought our nation still had the tallest buildings. We're not even close anymore. Like at one time with the Sears Tower, the Empire Building, I think at one time. Listen to this, and talk about pronunciation problems. The Burj Khalifa in Dubai of the United Arab Emirates is 2,717 feet high. That represents, in this case, 163 stories. Next, the Merdeka 118 in Kuala Lumpur of Malaysia. All apologies to people that actually know the pronunciations there. That's 2,227 feet and 118 floors. Third, the Shanghai Tower in Shanghai of China, 2,073 feet with 128 floors. We come in number seventh with the One World Trade Center in New York City with 1,776 feet and 94 floors. I hope to God you don't go home tonight and say in the sermon we learned about the tall buildings in the world, right? But they're pretty impressive. I don't want to go up in one of those buildings, and it would take a long time. I do believe you'd take the elevator in something like that. And this was impressive for the day. Do you notice something, though, and it ought to stand out? Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with its tower in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Pretty good indication of what's going on here, and all the more when we see what they should have been up to. A good definition for sin, I think Luther stole it from Augustine, and my guess Augustine wasn't original with it, is when we're turned in on ourselves. Because we're to trust God and to look outward to God and trust him to take care of ourselves and to know better what's in our own best interest and be God's instruments to look after others, to be turned in ourselves. Does this sound a little like being turned into ourselves, making a name for ourselves? What should they have been up to? From the very beginning of creation, when God created man in his image and after his likeness, male and female created he them, we read, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. I've done what I can in that regard, and we have four children. I would have liked to have gone for more, but I don't want to embarrass my beautiful bride. Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Dominion sounds like just bossing everything around a little bit. We know it has to do with a stewardship. And thank goodness there's a different look at creation. It's not in competition, but in Genesis 2, it's more like this dominion was to be a caretaker, a farmer, a gardener, if you will. And the whole idea is part of what it means in the mystery to be in the image and likeness of God is to reflect God's rule in all of creation and to reflect his lordship over all creation by tending and managing it as stewards or managers. The whole earth, to represent God everywhere. All right, so the earth gets wiped out with a flood. And you got Noah and his descendants, and they're multiplying. And in Genesis 9, we read this, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Does that sound like what the people are doing? By building this big city with a tower in the heavens? And they even say, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. We don't want that to happen. And yet what does God want? He wants us to fill all the earth and represent himself to all the rest of creation and to tend and manage and be stewards, gardeners, and tend the rest of his creation. So they're being disobedient. And I hope you see that. Seeking to make a name for themselves. Then I love the rest of this account. And the Lord God, let me go to verse 5. And the Lord God came down to see the city and the tower. Anthropomorphism, giving human-like qualities. God is everywhere present. But to put it in sharp relief, God comes down. This great monument, we're the very top in the heavens. God goes down and says, I think they're doing something down there. Let me get my magnifying glass. Let me get, wow, I really got to come a long ways down. Oh, they think that's their great tower there. Even with those buildings that I mentioned before. So he comes down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, unities, a good, but it isn't the greatest good. And they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing they propose to do will now be impossible for them. I wouldn't read that as to say, nothing will be impossible. In fact, it's pretty soon there'll be a rival to me and I better nip this in the bud or I'll be out of a job ruling the universe. No, I don't think that. But there won't be very many limits to the amount of evil, to the amount of monument making, to the amount of trying to make a name for themselves and being turned in themselves and neglecting the vocation that God has given us. There'll be no end. So what might not seem gracious might be seen in a different light. In verse 7, come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another and one another's speech, so that they're not going to be as effective as they would with their unity. You know what usually happens when 12 people conspire to do a crime? Somebody breaks the unity and rats on the others or doesn't hold up their end. And we can be thankful that that usually happens. Otherwise, we wouldn't solve as many crimes as we're able to. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. It wasn't their choice, but now they're getting dispersed as God intended them to be in the first place. God had worked this way before already. With Adam and Eve, he showed them out of the Garden of Paradise and put cherubim with flaming swords to bar them from what? They'd already partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was another tree that got mentioned, the tree of, I better find a way to be sewing this up because I'm losing everybody. The tree of life. What, we were intended to live forever, but not with evil multiplying. You remember when James said, one of the most evil members of the whole body is the tongue, and like a little match, it can set a whole forest ablaze. And you see, when a forest gets ablaze, sometimes you just have to pray for the right weather, and it just does incredible damage. There's a restrictive element here by God quashing everything that we might accomplish diabolically with a unity that isn't in the truth. And then we see the same thing happening with the flood. There was such great evil, and God set a flood on the earth. And here, even after the flood, you'd think people would be learning, but this effort has to be quashed here a little bit. I think in the New Testament, by the way, the mandate for the first disciples of Jesus in Acts 1:8, I wonder if anyone knows it, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that's where most of them are, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And you go all the way to the 9th chapter, and that doesn't seem to be happening a lot. I'm not going to say it's not at all. And there's a persecution that breaks out, and Saul, who will later become Paul, had the clothes laid at his feet as he stood there in approval at the stoning of the first martyr of the church, that would be Stephen. And we read that persecution broke out, and if I get it in here in the scripture, and that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered. Even in the New Testament era, it seemed like they needed just a little help to get about witnessing the gospel, and they were all scattered. And it says this in the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, they hang around in Jerusalem. All right, I know I've taken a little bit of time. This is exciting to me. But what I want to bring out to you is God quashes unity that is effective, but is accomplishing diabolical purposes. So now think what was read in the second chapter of Acts. When the Holy Spirit breaks loose, some people say, boy, with disobedience, all hell broke loose on earth. Yeah, Pastor said hell in here. How about with the Holy Spirit, all heaven breaks loose? And there's an overcoming of the division of language. Miraculously, on the day of Pentecost, with all those different names, everybody could hear in their own language the great acts of God being done. And then Peter preaches, we've come to understand God can work miracles at any time, but this is more an indication and a sign, like most miracles are, pointing to something else, and that is the gospel transcends all languages. So Christianity, unlike some other religions, works hard to go to all the places in the globe and works hard to translate the Bible into other languages and trains evangelists to speak the language of the people. That one message that brings a unity that's in the truth, and that unity is to be celebrated because truth, love, and beauty are the highest virtues, and only the lesser good, and it is a good, only the lesser good that serves the truth or love or beauty, but we're going to go with truth here. And it isn't just the message, the apostolic message that the Apostle Paul says in the letter to the Ephesians. I heard something. Did I get it right? Is it Daryl? The Ephesians Bible study, did I get that right? Yeah. You'll learn about the foundation of the apostles with Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, build up an edifice, and you'll find about dividing walls of hostility being broken down. This message it's not only the message that is the true that's based on the apostles, but the message is about somebody that we ought to be preaching all the time. And that's Jesus Christ, our Lord, who earlier in the 14th chapter said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Do you see the work of the Holy Spirit now, what we're celebrating in the birthday of the church, overcoming our barriers with the one gospel message that is truth, and it proclaims the truth, the unity we truly can celebrate. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, your Spirit fills the world and gladdens your church with the remembrance of all Christ Jesus has spoken. Comfort us with divine peace, and do not let our hearts be troubled or afraid. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, as you once chose apostles to proclaim the resurrection, so open the mouths of your pastors and people to declare his praises to all who will hear. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, sustain those who are mocked for believing and confessing the truth of your word, that they may remain faithful to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have poured out your Spirit upon us, that we might believe your truth and raise our sons and daughters in it. Bless all parents, that they may faithfully catechize their children in your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, sustain those who are mocked for believing and confessing the truth of your word, that they may remain faithful to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of might, preserve your people from their enemies, bring peace to the nations, and prosper the cause of life. Bless our leaders, especially our president, governor, Congress, legislature, and all judges and magistrates. Give them a relentless pursuit of just laws for the common good of all, with a heart of mercy for the weak and vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of compassion, forget not the sick and the suffering. Grant them healing according to your will. We especially pray for all who have need of healing, comfort, strength, peace, and those, including Marcia Harms, and for the family of Franklin Harrison, and for those we now name before you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of grace, your Son has come among us and given us the privilege of a place at his table. Prepare us to receive his body and blood with repentance and faith for our good and for the following in our lives of your holiness and righteousness. Nourish and feed us, that in holy communion we may be strengthened for your service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, with your Son Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts through your word to rule and govern us according to your will. Comfort us in every temptation and misfortune, and defend us against every error, that we may continue steadfast in the faith, increase in love and good works, and trusting firmly in your grace, for by his death obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Recessional hymn. Thank you. peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.